Good morning, brethren. Chuck Richardson is here with us, and Jeannie, his wife, and he's got four children with him. Let me see how good I am here. Leah, Rebecca, and Hannah, and Philip. Yeah. And not necessarily in that order either. But we're really glad to have them here. Chuck's going to teach our Bible class today. And as you know, we're looking at bringing in a second evangelist, and Chuck is here to show us that he is the man that we want. There's the pressure, Chuck. Show us. And as you know, the primary purpose is to teach Bible classes, Bible studies, one-on-ones in the prison, personal work in the community, and so teaching the Bible class today, teaching the Bible study today, that's what we're looking at with Chuck. And so keep that in mind, and he's also going to preach for us this morning, and we're really glad to have them here and glad to get to know them. If you weren't able to make it out yesterday to Daryl's for the potluck, we had a really good time. It was a beautiful day, and we got to meet and talk with Chuck and his entire family, and they got to meet and talk with all of you and decide whether they want to be part of us. So that's also part of the mix here. All right, so we're ready to start, and we'll begin with a word of prayer, and then Chuck will begin the class. Our dear Father in heaven, as we bow before you this morning, Father, we acknowledge our unworthiness, and we're very grateful for your grace and your mercy. You are a powerful God, the creator of all things. You are holy and righteous. You are also very loving and kind, immeasurably loving, to love us and to want us to be with you for all eternity, to have a relationship with us and to communicate your word to us. We're so grateful for the instruction, grateful for the encouragement, for the reproof. We want to honor you, Father. Our hearts are filled with appreciation and love and gratitude for your mercy. And so we pray your blessings on Chuck this morning as he teaches, and on us as we listen and participate. And we pray that you'll bless this entire day with good fruit. And we're so grateful for Jesus and grateful for the hope that we have together. Grateful for the bond that unites us all together in faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for your kind invitation to be with you, and yes, no pressure, right? I've had discussions with some of the men about teaching and practices, etc., and how we conduct that. So I realize wherever my approach is, especially this morning, may be a little different, and I hope that you'll be patient with me, please. But I do hope to get a lot of participation if I can, because the subject I've chosen is one that we all need, and I know I need deeply, and that is the subject of prayer. You receive maybe some questions. It's a very generic but a very specific topic, isn't it? It's one of those that, wow, I don't think if we mine the depths of it that we're going to get as deep as we need. I mean, there's a lot of Bible subjects like that, but what act of worship do we engage in that is the most challenging? Prayer. Have to. We're speaking to an invisible God. It's not the telephone conversation, right? And so I hope that whatever we get to cover in these questions that I have will be useful for you, that you'll be edified, and that we can grow in it. One other thing I'll add before we jump into the questions and try to mine those. Typically when I choose Bible topics, I try to engage the person's needs and interests, but a lot of times I select what I study based on my needs, because I figure maybe this is arrogant, but if I need it, maybe you need it too. And especially if it is something that is so important for our maturity and growth, I can't imagine how we don't need these things. But nonetheless, let us first start out defining prayer. I'll throw that out. Define prayer.
We got Justin. A book definition here. Reverent petition made to God.
Yeah.
That's Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Anyone else?
Communication.
Communication. Right.
A one-sided conversation between you and God.
All right. Okay. Okay. Good. No. Yeah. So as Brother Noto is saying, we're the dependent one. So it's a conversation, but it's one where one party needs the other more than the other party needs, right? And that's by nature, isn't it? Because we're the ones who have sinned against God. God's the one who has created us. He's the one who has created us for good works and for in His image to do what He wants, what He would desire us to do, to be like Him. So obviously we need Him. Very good. Very good. Anyone else? And all of those, I think, are great. I've decided that as I examine it and I think about it and as I've studied it, that it's the ideal of a privilege to communicate with God, obviously, for a gratitude sake, being thankful that we are saved. It's also a part of my responsibility and opportunity to help ask God for the burdens that others carry and relief for pains and anguishes and struggles and strivings. Obviously the things that I need, and hopefully I won't be too selfish that I'll think about what others need more. And just maybe too, I'll try to think more like God and then ask for the things that are more important or most important in my life. But let's be quite frank. We typically pray about our pains, our anguishes, our strugglings, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we're usually talking of what? Of our physical or material welfare. Have you ever thought about praying to God that if it takes the burden, the pains or the anguishes that I don't like, the struggles that I have, give me more of them if it makes me more like You? Wow. That's hard. That's hard. So maybe that's more along the lines of what I asked in question two, what is the purpose of prayer? But I'll throw that out nonetheless. What do you think?
I think it's interesting working with guys in prison that are new to the Bible is on a regular basis I'll get feedback that says I don't pray anything for myself.
Okay.
That would be selfish. They look at it as selfishness. And so they've misunderstood the idea.
Yeah.
It's thinking it's not to ask for anything for myself.
Right.
It's to ask only for other people and things.
Right.
So when some people come to prayer without our kind of background,
yeah,
they don't see it the way we do, where we think of asking for things, they'll look at it, no, that's not what you would do if you talk
right
to God. You wouldn't ask for anything for yourself.
That is interesting. As Brother Darrell's talking about, you know, I'll be quite frank with you, I haven't had much of that reproach, but that is very interesting because there has to be apparently humility of certain hearts that says, you know, this is the condition I'm in. Maybe I even brought myself to this point, and it really isn't about me anyway. So I'll ask, it's about asking for others, right? But we got to be balanced, don't we? Because God does care. I'm sorry. Apologize. Go ahead.
I think that there is no scarcity of prayers here, right? Like, if I ask some you. I might take too much from you. I might ask too much of you. But there's no such thing as asking too much of God. Like, there's right. no such thing. So we can ask all the prayers for ourselves, and we can ask all the prayers for other people, and we can just devote ourselves to praying for absolutely everything we can think of, and we're never taking too much from Him. And so those who think that you're selfish to pray for yourself, that they need to be told that, and those who think, you know, we have to pray for others first, and we absolutely should pray for others first, or at all, but I'm just saying, like, there's no limit.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important. But we look at it through human eyes and think, well, I don't want to ask too much.
Right.
So I need to be careful. And I just don't think God requires any need for us to be careful in asking too much and relying on Him too much. There's no such thing as that.
Let's run further with that. Because that's an important statement. Because we do think of God oftentimes in our terms, don't we? You know, limited. Because we are limited by nature. We can't do everything, can we? So consequently, we say, well, we'll ask about this much for ourselves or others. It doesn't matter. But we won't go any further than that. Should that be our attitude? And does that help us to draw closer to God? What do you think? Should this be our attitude? In other words, that we only need to pray for this much, right? Because one, maybe we're also, because we've been Christians a while, thinking just like, well, we've asked, and though we've been somewhat persistent, but we think it's time to stop because He hasn't fulfilled that, right? Or, you know, this is a lot to add, and we need to move on. So I'm asking the question then, based upon that in our discussion, should we rethink this? Should we rethink about what we're asking God for and how often we ask Him for those things? Go ahead.
I agree with what you said earlier that sometimes we tend to think in our own limited way about God. You know, if I ask my neighbor if I can borrow his lawnmower and his leaf blower and his hedge trimmers, essentially it's like, he's probably getting tired of hearing this from me. You know, he's probably like, hey, why don't you go buy your own?
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we overlay that same template onto God. But I'm not sure God has revealed to us all the reasons that He wants us to pray to Him. I think some of those things we have to kind of gather on our own. But He certainly is not limited. You know, He's got all the leaf blowers and all the all the love of the world. And frankly, He's not any of the things He gives us. He's not missing it.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be careful that we don't think of God in those limited human terms. I don't see God getting frustrated because we keep asking for help. Because we keep asking for help with the same thing over and over and over for 50 years of our life or whatever that time frame is. God is ready to give if we're ready to ask.
Yeah.
I think it's, Jesus says to the contrary, right? Jesus talks about the woman who's not getting justice and that she's pleading with the judge. And even though this judge doesn't fear God or man, she'll get her petition because she annoys him enough.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, that's a model for prayer, right? So look at this. When you're thinking about prayer, I want you to think about this. And if we think about it as our side of the relationship, in terms of communication, it's a bad relationship if you're not talking about deep things, if you're not talking about your needs. You know, we were studying this last night. We were talking about Psalms and how David just unloads everything, it seems like, to God, everything he's feeling. And even when those feelings are negative or bad, you know, and why are the rich prospering and the poor being brought down? God, I don't understand. It seems like it's wrong. It always comes back to, but I trust you. I know you know what you're doing. I know that you'll make things right in the end. But he works through it. It seems like through prayer, through that conversation, to get to, okay, I get it. But it's not like that happens once. You get a bunch of psalms like that. And so this, you know, this constant working through this, one of the things that we put down as a purpose is to express to God how we feel.
Yeah.
What's going on with us as a means of building that relationship and turning those things over to God.
Mm-hmm. talk about going to therapy. Go ahead.
We have to remember that he answers in his own way, in his own time.
Right.
And it's his will whenever it happens.
That's right. That's right.
Bert? If that's for when Jeff and John were threatened, they come back to the rest and they pray. But part of the prayer was reminding themselves and one another of who God is and how much he loves them and how great he is. Mm-hmm. And so it's a reminder for us too.
All right. Very good. So when we talk about doing this persistently, and as I was saying, I think we think of therapy, we go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or we get some counsel. But I think as Justin pointed out, if you read the prayers of David in particular, but others, you realize this is an exercise of therapy too, isn't it? This is a man who does know that he's wronged God egregiously, but just expressing that and repeating that, what he knows well about himself and how he thanks God for his graciousness because of how terrible he sinned against, that it would help one to feel better. Now, that sounds like a strange thing. You say, well, why should you feel better? Because we typically think of all you got to do is get better. You got to get God's forgiveness and then you're all right. But God does care how I feel too, doesn't he? Again, he does care.
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, why did God create us in the first place?
Yeah.
And when you think about that, the only real answer, you know, well, probably multiple answers, but relationship is what comes to mind.
Yeah.
And so he wants a relationship with us. Well, how in the world do you have a relationship with someone? You know, there is no relationship without communication. So what does God want from us? He wants us to communicate with him and to express our hearts and ask him for his favors. And all the things that are on our heart, he wants us to relate to him.
That's right.
He wants that. That's why he created us. Mm-hmm.
Got to open up, right? Like, it's not just communication, but it's got to open up about what's going on.
That's a good, Daryl.
Yeah, what Jerry said is, and you see this again, I think some of the stuff in prison, some guys in prison write people they will try to back.
Yeah.
So their assumption is they don't want a relationship with me anymore. They're mad at me, they're ashamed of me, whatever it is. But also then think about my kids when they were going to school, you know, when they were still in public schools, is, hey, what did you do to school today?
Mm-hmm.
Or real short, I'm begging for communication.
Right.
And I think God's like that with us. Can you give me more than that?
Yeah.
Just tell me more than you're doing okay or I'm doing really bad.
Right.
What you're saying, in any relationship, there's a desire and a need for communication, maintain it and grow it.
Sure.
And so as our relationship gets better with God, I don't know if it comes first and prayer gets better or prayer gets better and relationship gets better, maybe just a circular kind of thing. But God wants us to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Because just like we want our children to talk to us.
Yeah.
We want to know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? How are things going in your life? He wants that from us all the time. I think what makes it hard is we don't always know that when we ask our children. God knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows that, but us expressing it is really us saying, we see it the way you do, God. I'm afraid. You know I'm afraid. But will I admit that I'm afraid to you so we can agree together?
That's right.
Confession, agreement about that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So one of the beautiful things about son, and you think it's about son, you learn more about Joe and I. For instance, there's so many instances when there's a confession.
Mm-hmm.
Of a prayer, and you know, confession might be something that is strange to us, but in reality, we understand ourselves consider God.
Yeah.
When we confess, it's something that we approach God, as opposed to listen to our call. In fact, one of the said that, why are you downcast my soul? So it's like this guy predicting himself, and then hoping God. So he doesn't think to himself about how bad things are. He doesn't think God and
there's
hope to God. So all those things kind of it's like it's almost like you have to pray in a beatitude component, like, you know, by God.
Yeah.
If you pray this item, then you will really learn more about how much dependent you are on God, as opposed to you can make it on your own.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, brother?
You know, it tells us asking and receiving. You know, when we back to your question about how we limit God in our prayers. So if we have to pray with faith, knowing that He knows best and He knows what's going to be done, and like my back, you know, I prayed the other day on my back. Slowly it's being built. You know, the last time I had to go to the back, I had to have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It was healed that way, and I felt better after the surgery. But, you know, but we limit God because we ask and we don't receive, and then but in our minds we don't receive it.
Yeah, that's right.
When we limit God that way, I think that was your question, kind of, the last question.
That's yeah.
And but if we just ask, knowing that whatever happens, and ask in faith and trust God,
sure.
And that is what we're
doing. Right. May I suggest something? And this is hard for me. So what I'm telling you isn't easy to do either. It's difficult for me. I've got to, on one hand, appreciate the God who knows all. Okay? And what that means is this world has many troubles and trials that I'm going to experience, going to happen to me, that I don't necessarily have any control over or I'm responsible for. But I know He knows, and He'll take care of that. Okay? That part I want to keep in mind always. But when I bow my head or when I kneel or whatever I do before God and I talk to Him, I need to act as if I'm telling Him everything for the first time, because that's what He wants, as Jerry has pointed out, a relationship with me as a father to a son or a father to a child, right? And I'm not saying we, you know, absolutely forget. We can't just erase the fact that He knows everything, but don't we tend to think that away? If you've been a Christian long enough, have you ever thought about the fact that, you know, when you're getting ready to say something, He already knows it? And so maybe you're going to hold back. Maybe. And maybe, well, He only needs this much. I know He knows the rest of that stuff. And it's kind of like to Noto's point when he talked about bearing it out and telling God all of these things and repeating what He already knows in His heart about what's going on. That's exactly what we need for cleansing. And that's exactly what we need to have that relationship with God.
God wants us to demonstrate our reliance on Him. And so speaking those things to Him, owning them, admitting them, mm-hmm. is part of why He gave us prayer.
Right.
He could have made us beings who didn't need to go to Him audibly.
Yeah.
Or in our minds with our own words. But He wants us to acknowledge our place in the world and to acknowledge that we need Him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what every part of prayer is to me, is just humbling ourselves before the Creator and admitting mm-hmm. what we need and that we need.
Right. That's right. But Justin?
I think some of what you're talking about, for me, is because I'm an imperfect parent. And I want to talk and have a relationship with my child.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's been like, I don't want to hear about Pokemon cards anymore. Like, I don't care. Don't talk about them anymore.
Right.
Right, is what I think. Right.
Right.
And maybe not say. But God's not like that.
No.
Right? He doesn't get tired of hearing from us. And when I think about that relationship, Him being a perfect parent,
mm-hmm.
right, and wanting to build that relationship and wanting to know what's going on with us. And then I think one thing that I do want to hear as a parent is thank you.
Yeah.
You know, thankfulness, gratitude, that's definitely something that I want as a parent for the little that I've done. Compared to what God has done for me, the gratitude that we should always have for Him, which is sometimes hard to remember as we're thinking about what we want, is also the gratitude for what we have. You know, in that same prayer, sometimes it's
at different times.
Right.
Hey, I just need to send you a thing. Think about Nehemiah. Like, I've started my conversation with the king.
Yeah.
I'm praying. I'm continuing my conversation with the king versus other times where it's just stopping
yeah.
to thank God.
Right. Right. It's been Nehemiah's case, as you point out. That's an emergency prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
We better be ready for them. We got to be ready for those. Very good. Can I go ahead?
I just wanted to kind of go back to a couple of things, kind of the structural irony of prayer. That, you know, there was a time when we didn't exist and when God hadn't created humanity yet, and somewhere He decided He wanted prayer to work His way.
Yeah.
And the irony part is that the God who knows everything. He knows everything we need, that we want. He knows even the horrible things that we want. Wants us to praise Him. So I think that speaks to the question. It speaks to the fact that there must be purpose.
Yeah.
And there may be purpose for not just us, but for Him also, going back to what was said several minutes ago, that God clearly gets something out of creating mankind. Otherwise, He wouldn't have chosen to do it. And He clearly gets something out of prayer.
Yeah.
I agree that it's a one-sided conversation, and we need Him. I don't see any place in the Scriptures that depict Him needing us, but He wants us. And He gets something positive from His perspective out of that relationship that can only be seen in that dependence and through prayer.
Right. Think about that, as we've already heard. Don't we typically think of the prayer, and those things are true, as we've already said, but do we ever think about God getting anything out of that? We think of, well, here's my laundry list or whatever I'm willing to offer, because that's what He's required and He wants to hear it. And we think of it as kind of like the parent, maybe, that because of the position, the power, and the fact that they don't need these things, that they're the they're the ones who are the patron in some way, and they're giving and giving and they're not getting. But you pointed out you made a good point. Does God get anything out of our prayers? Is it some benefit for Him?
Well pleasing. As I raise, you see in the Scriptures quite a bit.
Yeah.
God takes pleasure in His children. So I would say biblically, yes.
Yeah.
He does.
Has to. Isn't it amazing that our Savior, for the time He spent up here on this earth, spent a lot of time in prayer? Here's a person that, well, He was already been there and done that, so to speak. He's eternal. He knows God, the Father. The Father knows Him. What's there to say? And this ain't the same as a long journey that we would take away from our families, although it was a very long journey. And yet, He spends a lot of time in communicating. And interesting, it's a pattern here. If Jesus were going to communicate with His Father while upon this earth, and that would be the avenue in which their relationship, interesting enough to me, develop and blossom in a different way even, for that time, then how much more should we? Yeah. And so it's very important for us to see that. The passage, if you want to, if you will please, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. John, would you read that for us, that verse only, verse 8, 1 Timothy 2, please?
1 Timothy 2, verse 8?
Yes.
But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully.
1 Timothy 2? I don't know. You're in...
I'm in 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, verse 8.
Verse chapter 2. I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought... Yeah, I said... Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, that's all right.
I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt.
All right. Traditionally, when we look at this text, typically we see, okay, here's the distinction in roles and responsibilities. And don't get me wrong, there is a subject, if you follow the text in verse 9, and submissiveness, etc., and men are to do this. So you think of it in technical terms, don't you? Typically. Men, you lead, you pray. Women, you keep quiet, you're submissive, right? There's more here for Paul to tell Timothy. In this Ephesian world that's so pagan, and sexual immorality and worship, etc.,
There's a reason why he's telling them this. And it's more than the distinctions between the sexes and the responsibilities. And I'm going to submit to you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's more than just prayer. Prayer is the foundation principle for the relationship with God. He says, men, you make sure that the family and the congregation is being led in a relationship with God, because you're in a hopeless, godless society, and you're never going to be able to make it if you don't. It's more than just prayer here. Prayer is, again, the principle that says this is your relationship with God. This is your badge, as it were. This world is hopeless and godless. What do you think?
I think that verse and the other concepts, like pray without ceasing, reminds us that no matter where we go, God is with us.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that, and maybe I'm thinking more about the next question, but I mean, prayer certainly illustrates that more than, you know, taking the Lord's Supper. We only take the Lord's Supper when we're together.
Yeah.
But we pray when we're at work. We pray when we are terribly tempted in the darkest, you know, back alley that we ever find ourselves in.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're in Corinth or whether you're in Middleburg, you, wherever you go, you can pray, and therefore you are reminded that wherever I go, my hands need to be holy. And I, because God, He's right there with me.
Yeah.
I can't, there's no recess I can sink into where God's not going to be able to see me and find me, and I'm still you know, accountable to Him. So I think that's at least part of what I think is going on. But you men, remember who you are in every situation.
Agreed. Agreed.
Hebrews 4, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. It's not necessarily a verse that's talking about prayer, but how
right.
can we draw near? And God sent His Son so we can draw near.
Mm-hmm.
And in time of need is when we're tempted,
yeah.
when the world is, you know, too much, where we're just overwhelmed by what's around us. So
right.
we have that privilege to draw near to God, and He made
yeah.
it possible.
That's right. We've been granted that privilege. Good. Chair.
To get to your point about it being more than just prayer here, it does seem to imply that if you go back in the context
mm-hmm.
about praying for all people
mm-hmm.
and praying for rulers and those who are in high places
yeah.
so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life and with godliness and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, that was last Sunday morning's sermon.
Okay.
Chapter 2. So I'm relating to what you were saying about the connection there. It's more than just prayer. It's connected back with the entire way we live.
Right.
And the entire importance of God being remembered and talked to and related to in order to live
yeah.
the way that we yeah. need to live.
That's very good. Justin?
Yeah, we were looking last night about how Jesus used prayer, you know, some of the examples of His prayers. And we were looking at the prayer in the garden, where it seemed like the purpose of His prayer was to submit His will to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, at least what Matthew records, that's what He was about.
Mm-hmm.
He was praying to remind Himself that He needed to submit Himself to God, and to tell God that He was prepared to submit to Him.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that prayer creates reliance and trust. You know, that if you're going to see this as this one-way communication that goes up,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're not in a position
mm-hmm.
to solve the problem. We're not in a position to fix it, right? God is. And so we're creating reliance and trust when we pray, which also speaks to when we're not praying, is that also a sign probably that we are lacking the reliance
mm-hmm.
and trust that we need, that we're in a place of self-reliance because we're finding ourselves not talking to God, not building that relationship, and not recognizing that we need to be in submission to His will and to what He is going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I pray and they seem to be more repetition than thought, that scares me. I realize there's no relationship here. I mean, from God knows it. I know it now.
I should pay attention to that and reset. It tells me there's something I've lost focus on. Something, because we can all do it, right? This life is busy with so many things, and things that we need to be busy with. Don't get me wrong, things that we have to do, but we can never forget in that to keep focused on our relationship with God. And that's really the fundamental. And prayer, I think, will really be the catalyst, if I may, that will help us with maturity more than anything else I can do. Because I'll be quite frank with you, as a Bible teacher and a preacher, I've had a lot of great opportunities. And I would at times measure my success based upon that work. Right? Now don't get me wrong, there may be good elements of that. But is that something I should be measuring my success on? Okay, I'm a good Bible class teacher or Christian because I got 5 Bible studies this week regularly going on. I've got some Zoom studies. There's 9 or 10 preachers that want my help in study. Is that the measurement of who I am? Before God's eyes, it cannot be. Now, if that's my estimation, that's a problem. I got to rethink this, right? Because that can't work. It's kind of what it's exactly what Matthew 17 teaches about being a servant. We didn't touch on that last night, but it's like this. In Matthew 17, he says it plainly that as a servant, are you going to sit down with the master at the table? You've been out in the field working. You got to prepare his meal. What are you going to do? Jesus says you're going to prepare that meal. He's going to get fully served, and then you will eat after. And you don't think any otherwise, and neither does the master. It's only what you were told to do, what you were expected to do. That's how my work should be. And that's a hard lesson sometimes because we are men, and particular men like me can get egos, start really thinking a lot of themselves, and we love accomplishment, right? We love success. We love to, here's my resume. I get all of that. That's why it's hard to set back and remember that's not who I am. That's what I'm to do because that's what I've been charged with. It's what God says my job is. Does not make me who I am. God decides that based upon, get this, as we've been talking about, our relationship with Him. And that's the hard lesson to learn is how to develop that because that's the real challenge, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah, so looking at this, when you connect verses in verse 52, connect verses 9 and 10 back to verse 8, when it says likewise, and it talks about women in their modest apparel don't wear golden pearls, but good works, making a claim to godliness.
Yeah.
So if you think about prayer from a man's standpoint, you know, let me direct men that our claim as Christians, if we claim to be godly Christians, prayer should be that devotion that we are involved in daily, you know, and that kind of like what the apostles were in Acts chapter 6, where they're like, I don't need to be serving tables, I need to be devoted to prayer and the ministry of the word. That is our the very thing that we wear as Christians that says we are godly, that we are His children.
That's right. That's right. And how often do we do that poorly? But we take all the other things. We assemble, take the Lord's Supper. We've been baptized, right? We sing, right? And maybe we're active in evangelizing or aiding others. And all those things are important. Do not misunderstand me. But then, okay, we did that much this week and we did all of this, so yeah, I'm good before God. And yet God says, you talking to me is the most important thing, I think, if I understand it well. You have a relationship with me, so therefore you talk to me. And as Brother Noto said, hey, you unload it. It's painful sometimes and you may not like what you're getting ready to say about yourself, but you do it anyway. Because that's probably the therapy that works all of this out to where you're honest not only with yourself, but get this, there's another step. I can be honest all I want about who I am, but what am I going to do about it? It's easy to, it's not, maybe not for some, but eventually you might get to the point where you say, yeah, that's who I am, a dirty, rotten sinner, in whatever way. But then what are you going to do about it? We may do nothing. Where does that get us? No, absolutely nowhere. But, as Brother Noel says, if I'm willing to keep talking to God about that, what if I'm telling Him I care. I care for what He thinks about me and how I live. And I care that He cares for me, that He's gracious, that He will save me if I repent. And that I'm thankful, I got gratitude. Hebrews 12, verse 28, if I'm correct, as he goes through the unshakable kingdom discussion, 28, says gratitude is the foundation that makes us want to be a part of that kingdom. Gratitude for all that he's done. We are grateful we are a part of that citizenship, Philippians 3 and verse 20, right? That's where it's all at. And that's the challenge. And so, if I may express to you my concern for myself as I examine self, especially as we talk about the potential of working as a teacher and evangelist, and all that sounds exciting. The real hard part is deciding that I'm going to stay connected to God and my relationship with Him so that everything else that I do is just the outgrowth and outcome of that, and it means nothing necessarily to my resume. That those things are good, yes, the good works, because I am created. And I think that's the important principle, Ephesians 2:10. It says we're created for good works. It didn't say we created good works. We're created for good works that He has decided beforehand. I didn't decide those. He decided those. So not mine. What am I going to brag about? And I'm only asking others to do what I've been doing. I hope. So where is the glory in that? By itself. In fact, turn over to Romans 2 and verse 7. There's an entire context, but I want to just hone in on verse 7 in particular. Nona, would you like to read that for us? Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Very good. All right, question. We may not have enough time to really address this. What is Paul saying that we should do? He says seek, right? For the glory, the honor, immortality, and eternal life. How do I get to do that? Why do I get to do that? Why should that be important? That's maybe three questions, but it's really one, I suppose. Sorry. Trying to say it a different way, don't always work. So why? Why should I do that? Why should I seek for that?
I come to know the value of God and knowing Him, being with Him for all eternity.
Right.
The more you understand that, the more you seek that.
Yeah.
And the less you seek the things of this world, the temporary things.
Right. Right. And notice, I think, if you read the rest of the text, are you able to do that by yourself or in and of yourself? Now, not what he's at. But especially when you step, okay, you get glory, maybe we can think of that in temporal terms. Honor, I suppose we could do that if we choose. What do you do when you get to immortality and eternal life? Where are you going to get that on this plane? By yourself, with others, whatever you do. How are you going to do that? You see? It means now God has to be the focus, and that makes you turn back to Him and says, okay, this is what, and by the way, this is what God's given me. He says, I can have glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. Though I was dirty and rotten before Him and didn't please Him at all.
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and do so until they find the cycle of into the gap. That we offer sacrifice, thank you, sacrifice. And then we bow that our thankfulness. And then also of the bed, we fall upon the standard of the church. And then we deliver us.
Right. One bell?
Yeah, that's it.
That's all right. Thank you.
One bell.
Okay. Thank you for your kind attention. Looks like we've finished or we ran out of time, but thank you for your kind attention and your participation. Flash drive, yeah, okay. Yeah. Got Thunderbolt and USB both, so.
Okay.
Paint. I think we only have USB. Clicker is on. This advances, this goes back, and you've got a little pointer if you want it.
Okay.
And I don't think I've put it in a folder. I've got several files in there. Some of them have got folders, but I'll find it. Okay. Personal work. It's personal work. And Acts 1 through 4 is also on there. But
Jerry, sometimes we have a slideshow that goes up because we have, I saw,
yeah,
2 minutes of silence, and so it just has like a verse that's up there. So I'll see if Jerry wants to load something like that up here.
Embed it in there.
Yeah, but it'll
Okay. Gotcha.